Well, good morning, friends, and welcome back to Good Morning Live. It is so good to see you on this Tuesday morning. I hope you had an amazing weekend. Now, I know we missed the program yesterday. If you didn't hear on Sunday, my wife, Sarah, who's 2 weeks out, 2 weeks and one day out from her due date for our fifth child, got a cough, which in itself isn't terrible, but then pulled a muscle in her stomach from the cough, which was giving her like a 10 out of 10 pain. So anyway, I took on some of the responsibilities yesterday of taking the kids to school and getting all that done so she could stay at home and rest. So apologize for not being on with you yesterday, but for good reason. but so pray for her, pray for us as we navigate these next 2 weeks. As we anticipate our fifth child coming, a little girl. So anyway, it is so good to still be on with you today and open up the Word of God and hear how it can impact and change our lives. Well, we've been in a powerful series exploring the unseen realm, angels and demons, and how the spiritual world interacts with our lives every single day. I have heard from so many of you how this series has been blessing you and just kind of opening up your eyes in how you pray and warfare and how all of that impacts you on a daily basis. So many of you have said, wow, I've never seen that before or heard that before. So I hope this series has been blessing you the way it's been blessing me. It's always helpful when we can look beyond what we see, right? And look a little bit deeper into that supernatural world and see what's actually happening all around us. Just to kind of recap a little bit, you and I do not live in a purely natural world, right? We know that we live in a spiritual world surrounded by supernatural beings, some that serves God's purpose and others that oppose God's purpose, right? There's this warfare that happens. And we went through kind of Satan and his fall and where the, you know, demons came from and all of that. And we looked a little bit on Friday together of, you know, some of the attributes of angels and how they play into our lives. But today we're going to focus on one of the most powerful beings mentioned throughout scripture. And it's one angel, just one angel. But I think he's mentioned so many times in scripture that I thought it would be nice to just to take a day and kind of focus on him. And I'm talking about the angel Gabriel, right? He's one of the only two angels named in the Bible. The other is Michael, the archangel or the great warrior of heaven, as the Bible would call him. Gabriel, however, is a messenger. His very name actually means God is my strength. When you study your Bible and you begin to look at you know, angels and when they appear in scripture, he's the one who carries divine revelation, prophetic messages, and insight about God's plans. So what we're going to discover today is that through Gabriel's ministry, through his interactions with Daniel, Zechariah, Mary, we learn key truths about how God communicates, right? As I said, everything in this series isn't supposed to be demonology and our angelology and getting us to worship angels. It all reveals the nature of God and how we relate to him. So what we can learn from Gabriel, who is God's messenger, so to speak, is how God relates to us. How about how God communicates, how he answers prayer, and how we should respond when heaven speaks. So grab your Bible, take some notes if you can, and let's dive into this together. Well, the first time we meet Gabriel is in Daniel chapter 8. And in this story, Daniel has a vision, one that leaves him literally physically shaken. He sees this ram and then a goat with a horn between its eyes, as maybe we would call a unicorn, then four horns, and then a mysterious horn that grows in power. And I, you know, every time I read that about Daniel's vision, I laugh because haven't we all had those dreams where you wake up and you're like, what? God, if you're trying to say something, I think you should try a little bit. Try again, God, because that didn't cover it. Well, again, here's Daniel. He sees a ram and then a goat with a horn between its eyes. Then there are four horns and then a mysterious small horn that grows in power. Like Daniel can relate, right, to these when God speaks through dreams. And you're like, what are you saying, God? I don't know. But it's in Daniel's dream, it's a symbolic vision about world empires, Persia and Greece, and the rise of future kingdoms. But Daniel obviously doesn't understand what he's seeing at this moment, right? Then something happens. A voice calls out and says, Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision. And as Gabriel approaches Daniel and says, I became terrified and fell on my face. That's Daniel's response as Gabriel approaches him. I became terrified and fell on my face. Think about that. This is not a gentle, chubby-cheeked angel, you know, that we would see on greeting cards or, you know, Valentine's Day or something like that, or an oil painting. This is a being so radiant, so powerful, that the holiest man in Babylon falls flat on his face in complete fear. Just to put a little bit of perspective of what the angels actually look like. Gabriel says, understand, Daniel, that the vision concerns the time of the end. As Daniel begins to listen, he actually faints from the sheer weight of the glory that manifests. So Gabriel touches him, lifts him up, and says, I am here to tell you what will happen in the future. And I just even love that Gabriel touches him and lifts him up. It's like, come on, I understand you're falling because of the weight of the glory, but I got a message to deliver. Daniel, can you get up? Can you stand under this thing? I'm a messenger and I'm on mission. And Daniel's just like, you know, from the weight of the glory of all that's happening, falls down. I love that Gabriel touches him, lifts him up, and says, listen, I'm here to tell you what will happen in the future. So kind of buck up. We got to get through this thing together. And what a picture really, though, of divine order, that heaven never leaves confusion unanswered. That when Daniel doesn't understand what God is doing, God sends clarity through a messenger. Years later in Daniel chapter 9, Gabriel will appear again. Daniel has been praying, and not for himself, but for his nation. He's confessing the sins of Israel, asking God, please give Israel mercy. And as he's praying, Gabriel again suddenly shows up. And Daniel says, listen, while I was praying, Gabriel, whom I have seen in the earlier vision, came to me swiftly at the time of evening sacrifice. Now, Gabriel says something here remarkable. He says, Daniel, I have come to give you insight and understanding. Insight and understanding. Again, I just want to drive this point home, because often we think, and I don't, you know, I get we're humans trying to relate to a holy, supernatural, majestic God. But I just think it's so amazing that for some reason we think that God's hiding from us, or hiding the truth from us, or, you know, just trying to be like, well, we'll see if you can figure this one out. But when in reality, God's always trying to clarify. I know we prophesy through a glass rather dimly. We don't see everything, but sometimes it's like we approach God like he's holding the answer back, trying to see if we figure it out. But I think God is like saying, listen, I want to show you the plan for your life. I want to bring clarity to your confusion. I want my word to illuminate your way, right? Like, I'm the light of the world. I want to bring that to you. I want to help you see what's ahead and the plan for your life. And so this whole interaction just reminds me of that. Like, when Daniel's like, what does that dream mean? God sent the answer. When he's like, well, what's happening in Israel right now? And he's praying, God sends an answer. So just to, you know, encourage us today that even in times of your life where you're like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know my next step. Right? I believe that God's always wanting to answer. He's always trying to help us move further and understand and see more. So Gabriel says something to Daniel. He says, Daniel, I've come to give you insight and understanding. The moment that you began praying, a command was given. Listen to that. The moment you began praying, a command was given. The moment you began praying, Understand that in your world, the moment that you began praying, a command was given. And I have come to tell you what it was, for you are highly esteemed by God. Don't miss that. Heaven responds the moment prayer begins. Before the amen ever even leaves Daniel's lips, God dispatched the answer. Come on, that tells us something about prayer. You may not see results instantly, but the very moment you pray in faith, heaven starts moving. So, Gabriel, his speed is swift, right? Speaks of heaven's readiness to answer. God isn't slow. He's strategic. And when we see Gabriel again, possibly in Daniel chapter 10, where a radiant man appears to Daniel with eyes like fire, arms like polished brass, and a voice like a multitude, Daniel collapses again. And again, the man touches him, strengthens him, and gives him revelation about future events. But every time Gabriel appears, he brings understanding, revelation, and strength. So we're not Daniel, but here's what we can learn from this story. Heaven has a chain of communication. God's messages are delivered intentionally. I you might say, well, what do I care about heaven's chain of communication? I love that. I love that God has so much forethought that he's like, I got a communication chain to help my people out. I'm not going to leave them on red, right? Like, you know, you have your phone and, you know, you can see that somebody read your text message and they just didn't bother to respond. And I am guilty of that many times. Please forgive me. I'm trying to be better on that. If you're sitting there thinking, yeah, that's you, I know. But anyway, you know, that God doesn't leave you on red, or there's not confusion in heaven of who's answering the prayer, who's going to tell Daniel. Like, there's a communication, like God's got this from the foundations of the world. He laid this out. He knows how to get an answer to you. He knows how to respond to you. He knows how to get the word to you that you need in a right season. So you might be like, well, God, how, when, where? God's like, listen, I got a structure that has existed long before you ever existed. Trust me, I got this, right? So the spiritual world is structured. There are messengers, there are warriors, there are watchers. We talked about some of that recently. But God never leaves his people without instruction. So when Gabriel speaks to Daniel, we see a key phrase. From the moment you began to pray, a command was given. That means that prayer on earth, and listen to this, activates authority in heaven. Prayer on earth activates authority in heaven. Think about that for your own life. When you pray for your family, for your church, for your city, something shifts. When those words leave your mouth, it activates something in heaven. And you may not see the battle, but I want to tell you today, it's real. Daniel prayed for 21 days before seeing anything. Why? Well, because Gabriel says he was delayed by the prince of Persia, a demonic ruler in the heavenly realm. We've talked about some of this. But in other words, some prayers are delayed, not denied. Now, let me clear this up. I was talking with a sister in the Lord the other day, and she said, yeah, I was listening to Garth Brooks' song, Unanswered Prayers. And we were talking about how, you know, when I heard that song growing up, my mom said, don't listen to that. That's not biblical. And actually, I think it is pretty biblical. It's just that sometimes, it's not biblical in the sense that God always answers every prayer. He answers every prayer. Just sometimes we get confused about delay and denial, because sometimes we pray a prayer and God says no. And we're like, well, God, you didn't answer my prayer. No, he answered it. He just didn't give you the answer that you wanted. But sometimes God answers the prayer and it's a yes, but it's just delayed. So we have to be very keen in the spirit. We got to listen to the spirit of God, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Because some good times God answers right away and just says no. And sometimes God answers and says not yet, but sometimes God answers and it's just delayed. The answer is released, but it meets resistance. So what do you do, right? Like, I mean, what do we do in the waiting? Well, you keep praying until breakthrough comes. You keep declaring what you believe until the resistance breaks. That's why Jesus said, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking on the door. Listen, I think this is powerful. You know, the scripture says that one can put 1,000 angels to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. So come on, if you've been delayed, sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is for the angels fighting for your answer, call in reinforcements. Get somebody else on earth to agree with you in prayer. And now instead of 1,000 being released, 10,000 are being released fighting on your behalf. Persistence in prayer is how spiritual victory is won. Gabriel teaches us this. When you pray, God hears immediately, but the battle for the answer may take time. And listen, it's not because God is weak. It's because the unseen realm is at war, and your prayers are a part of that war. You never underestimate what happens. Never underestimate. I say it again. Never underestimate what happens when you pray. God hears. He answers. Things happen. Lives are transformed. Things shift, right? When you pray. So just hang on. Just keep believing. Keep being persistent. Keep pushing in for more. Never underestimate what happens when you pray. Now, I want to fast forward a little bit to the New Testament because Gabriel appears again. This time, not to a prophet, but to ordinary people. He shows up to Zechariah, an aging priest who's been serving God faithfully for decades. Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, have prayed for a child their whole lives. But now they're old and hope seems gone for them. So one day Zechariah is chosen by lot to enter the temple and burn incense before the Lord, a once in the lifetime kind of moment, right? And as he's praying, Gabriel appears beside the altar and says, "Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son." I love that verse of scripture because when my mom and dad were having kids, they had four girls and she kept believing God for a boy. She said, "God, I want a boy. I want a boy." And she often told me that the day I was born, they didn't know in advance. When I was born, the doctor said, "It's a boy." She said, the doctor handed me to her and she said she was like Elizabeth and rejoiced because she had finally born a son. So anyway, side note to my life, but anyway. But for Elizabeth, can you imagine that moment? Or for Zechariah, you've been praying for decades and nothing has happened. And then suddenly an angel stands in front of you saying, "Your prayer was not forgotten. Decades had gone by." And now the angel stands there and says, "Your prayer was not forgotten." But Zechariah does what many of us do. He doubts. He says, "How can this be? I'm old and my wife is advanced in years." Gabriel's response is firm, but yet merciful. He says, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to bring you this good news." In other words, I didn't come from the lower courts of heaven. I came from the throne room, Zechariah. I was sent from the very presence of God to bring you this message, this good news. So just get it together for a minute. Just you know, I know you got your doubts. I know you've got your questions, but I came from the courts of our God, the throne room. Now, because Zechariah doesn't believe, Gabriel gives him a gift, silence, and says, "Listen, you will be unable to speak until the promise is fulfilled." Why? Well, because unbelief can sabotage the miracle. So Gabriel does something I call a merciful shutdown. Lord, give us a merciful shutdown sometimes. He shuts or closes Zechariah's mouth so that his words won't cancel his prayer. God, I could preach there all morning to you. He shuts his mouth. Why? Because he doesn't want, I often heard it said this way, stop talking yourself out of what God's trying to talk you into. Gabriel saying, "Listen, I've come from the throne room to give you this message and you're trying to talk me out of it. So shut up, shut your mouth. Quit trying to stop the answer from coming. Quit trying to stop the miracle." Sometimes the best thing God can do for us is to quiet us until we can speak faith again. So let's look at what we can learn from Gabriel's encounters. Well, lesson one, don't be afraid of what God has for you. Over and over, Gabriel says the same thing. Do not be afraid. He says to Daniel, he says it to Zechariah. We didn't dive very much into it, but Gabriel's the one who appears to Mary and says, "You're going to be with a child." What does he say to her? Don't be afraid. Why? Because divine assignments often start with fear. If come on, if you're not praying prayers that scare you, you're probably not praying big enough prayers. God doesn't want you to pray about what you can do. He wants you to pray about what you can't do that only he can do. Maybe your prayers aren't getting answered because God's like, well, you can do that. Ask me for something that you can't do and only I can do. So whenever heaven shows up, it disrupts our comfort zone. But every time Gabriel says, do not fear, what follows is always good news. So if you feel fear about what God is calling you to do, well, take heart. God's plans are never meant to destroy you. They are meant to develop you. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of calling. Don't be afraid of what's next, of stepping out into the unknown, stepping into, like David said, the large place that he's called me. Fear is the language of hell, but faith is the language of heaven. Lesson two is that God hears your prayers. Daniel 9 reminded us again, the moment you began praying, a command was given. Luke 1 says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. That means prayer never expires. The prayers you prayed 10 years ago may still be echoing in heaven. God has perfect timing. And when the right time or the right moment comes, the answer will arrive swiftly. So don't give up. Heaven's clock doesn't run on human schedules. If you're still breathing, your prayers are still alive. And then the third lesson from Gabriel's, God's presence is discovered. God's will is discovered in God's presence. Gabriel said, remember what he said, I stand in the presence of God. That's how I know, that's how he knows what to say and what to do and where to go. You and I find the same clarity the same way by standing in God's presence, because now the presence of God isn't just reserved for the angels. Now the scripture says you and I can boldly come into the presence, come into the throne room. So if you're trying to make a major decision, don't run to everyone else's opinion. Run to God's presence. That's where wisdom lives. That's where revelation flows. That's where you hear that still small voice of God. If you spend time in his presence, you'll start to know the will of God. And then finally, the fourth lesson, nothing is impossible with God. This is Gabriel's message to Mary, but it's really heaven's message to all of us. After watching centuries of human history, Gabriel says, nothing will be impossible with God. He saw creation spoken out of nothing. He saw the Red Sea parted. He saw walls fall and kings rise and nations shift. He's watched God move mountains for thousands of years. So when he says nothing is impossible, listen, he's not guessing. He's testifying. So whatever you're facing today, no matter how impossible it looks, come on, God can handle it. If he can create galaxies with a word, he can heal your physical body, restore your marriage, open a door that no man can close, or change the circumstances that everyone said is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So take heart today. You're not forgotten. If you prayed, God has heard. So while we live in the natural, let's not forsake the supernatural. Let's remember that angels are still active. They still minister to the heirs of salvation, you and I. They still protect, they still deliver, they still strengthen God's people. But remember, we don't pray to angels, we pray to God. And he commands his angels concerning us. That's why Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. You may never see an angel, or maybe you have, but come on, they're there. You may never feel them, but they're active. Your life is surrounded by heavenly help. And finally, let me remind you of this. The same God who sent Gabriel to Daniel in Babylon, to Zechariah in the temple, to Mary in Nazareth, is the same God who knows your name and hears your prayers today. He still speaks help when you need him. He still speaks when you seek him. He still answers when you call. Don't be afraid. Don't stop praying. Don't lose heart. Because when heaven has a message for earth, God always knows where to send it. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you for reminding us that we are not alone. Thank you for the unseen world that works on behalf of your people. Thank you for sending answers, strength, and guidance at the very right time. Help us to live aware of the supernatural. Keep our faith strong, our words full of life, and our hearts open to your will. We believe, Lord, that nothing is impossible for you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. It has been an honor and a privilege, as it always is, to partner with you and opening up the Word of God, spending our mornings together. Thank you for the grace, as I had said in the beginning, we missed yesterday because of Sarah not feeling well. And as we navigate these last 2 weeks of waiting out for our fifth baby to arrive. But I pray you have an amazing day, and I will, Lord willing, be back with you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Now, remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.